Hey there, friends. Today we share a special episode just for Christmas. Me, Liz, and our producer Rex have a great discussion about traditions and tasty foods, as well as a new term Liz introduces called Twixmas. We tackle another concept called December Drift and the importance of reconnecting as a couple at this wonderful time of year. We also recognize that this may not be the most wonderful time of the year for some people, so we share some tips for those who may experience Christmas as a difficult day. We hope you have a very Merry Christmas and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection. I'm psychologist Dr. Liz Hale, along with the esteemed professor Dr. Dave Schramm. Together, we are dedicating our life's work to bringing you the best we have in valid marital research, along with a few tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. Today, Rex, Dave, and I wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we thought we'd dedicate this episode to sharing a few of our thoughts and traditions, along with a few tips to boost your happiness and hope today and the days ahead in the new year.
Yeah, it's so fun. This is this Christmas Day episode. Been looking forward to this. We have now, listeners, if you have not seen the podcast on YouTube, you got to get on. You got to check out Rex. We have Rex with us in his flannel and my flannel. And Liz is electric. You got to check her out, my friends. She is blowing up the internet.
A disco ball. You can just say the truth. A disco ball.
I love it, Liz. I absolutely love it. So this, what a fun time of year. So we wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. But I want to start out this episode by simply just recognizing that for many who are listening, this is not a very merry time. It's not the most wonderful time of the year. Some of the songs that we sing go. So I thought I would at least recognize that we have some listeners who are at very different life stages, right? And so I think that for those who maybe this is a difficult time of year, we want to share a few tips as well for you in your situations. The first is simply, may this be a time of reflection, of remembering, of gratitude. I think there are those who perhaps woke up this morning and it was quiet, right? Like my parents who are waking up in Payson, Utah, and they feel like, wow, the house is quiet. They miss those days when Bing Crosby was playing and the kids came out and there was noise from the toys and all the fun traditions. And instead, it's a quiet and it's an empty house that can bring some sadness, some of this feelings of nostalgia. I think there may be some others who are feeling this heartache. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a death or a sickness in the family. Maybe there's those who are serving family members serving overseas and they can't be together right now. So to all those who are listening, wherever you are and whatever situation you find yourself in this Christmas day, my message is searching for and finding the good. Maybe you pull out your home movies. We have home movies we pull out. Maybe it's pictures on your phone or it's a scrapbook and you reflect. You take time to look back and to be grateful for those positive aspects of this holiday season. I'm reminded of one of my favorite quotes, actually. Dr. Seuss said this, and I saw it the other day and it reminded me. He said, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." So for those of you who are younger and maybe you still have parents, one or both parents still living, give your mom or dad a call and let them know how much you love them. Maybe share with them a favorite tradition. Check in with them or an experience that you love. Let them know today how much you love and care for them, because it's important to recognize all of us experience Christmas a little bit differently. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I'm in two boats on this one. I have, you know, four young kids whom go crazy. And of course, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's too much noise. But I'm like, gosh, I'm going to miss this when I get older. But I've also lost, you know, my mother several years ago. And I miss her around Christmas. And I had a grandfather I was really close to who actually passed away close to Christmas when I was young. So I can understand that. Really, don't be sad that they're not there. Rejoice that you even got to experience and share time with them and then have those memories.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Ah, that is a phenomenal point of Dr. Seuss, and you too, Dr. Dave and Rex. You mentioned also traditions, Dave. I think those can really help create powerful connections. What are your favorite Christmas traditions, Dave?
Yeah, traditions, I think, Liz, for many families are so very personal, and they're so very important. They do something. The research actually shows that the traditions, they're cemented in our brains. So some of the fun ones, you know, our family, we absolutely love Christmas. We love the traditions, going to, you know, watching the movies and the music and getting into the spirit of the holidays. Kind of an interesting one that I grew up with that I'll share. It may sound kind of silly, but our kids absolutely love it. And that's what we call a Christmas train. And so we, in the Schramm fam growing up in Payson, we would take, I think maybe it may have been the 23rd, 24th, we would line up all the presents underneath the tree. We would bring them all out and we would line them up in this little train, and we would kind of see how far the train goes. And for some reason, our kids absolutely love that tradition. On the 24th, we bring all the presents out. We line them up to see how far that goes. They love it. We play a certain Bing Crosby music. So we have, in fact, the 24th, it's kind of funny. Our kids, they will, ever since they're little, they scheduled out the entire day, the Christmas Eve, the 24th, out to the minute, right? Of this is when we're going to wake up and we're going to clean and then gingerbread houses. And then we're going to go outside and play. And they love scheduling out the entire day. And then we finish the day by watching Polar Express, reading Twas the Night Before Christmas, and then Luke 2, and then talk a little bit, and then they go to bed. So yeah, we have fun little traditions. Rex, what about you?
I like that idea of the train and putting the presents all out. Do you put them out before Christmas?
No. So they all go underneath the tree. The only time that they're really pulled out is that Christmas train. And then they go, it kind of wanders through the house. They go and count how many presents are there. And it's kind of a funny little tradition.
That is really cool. I like that. That's a really cool story. For us, I mean, a lot of it's kind of standard. You know, we watch Rudolph from, you know, 1960s, the original Rudolph animated movie, or Elf sometimes. That's really funny. And then we'll go see Christmas lights and stockings and stuff like that. But one of the things that we always do is my grandfather built this really, he was a really good woodworker, and he built this really neat nativity set. And every year that always goes out. I think a lot of the pieces are even original from like the 1950s. So that's something we do every year. And I really, really love that nativity set. Like, it was in my family growing up, and then when all my brothers and sisters moved out, it stayed. And then my mom was like, oh, who wants this? And if everybody's like, no, give it to Rex. Give it to Rex. He loves that. And that's from Grandpa. And those two were thick as thieves. So I love that thing. It's always been a part of my family. And I hope to pass it on to my kids too, when they get older, one of them, whoever really wants it. So that's one of our kind of traditions.
Those are really special. Those nativities, aren't they? I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard this sweet story just recently on the nativity. Anita Stansfield wrote a book, and kind of a love story, but this couple, they put out their nativity scene right out front of their home. It's an outdoor one. It was getting kind of beat up through the years, but one night they noticed that baby Jesus was gone. Someone had taken baby Jesus. Who's going to do that around Christmas? They couldn't believe it. They kind of went on with their day, and then this is probably Christmas Eve actually. And they decided, you know what, let's go out and let's go buy a new baby Jesus and swaddling clothes and get him back in our manger, our nativity. So at least he's there for Christmas Eve. And so they did so, went out and laid stuff for Santa and just kind of enjoyed themselves, because it was a tough time of year. They were longing for a family of their own, and a few adoptions had fallen through. Well, when they got home with this new baby doll wrapped in these swaddling clothes, they went to put him in their manger, their nativity scene, and baby Jesus was back. But he was back and he was glorified. Somebody had taken him and had redone him, had touched him up, had repainted him, had new swaddling clothes. And then there was a note also right next to him that said, next year, we're going to kidnap Mary. Is that a great story? I love that. When you two are talking about traditions, I think some of my favorite traditions really have to do with food. I don't remember a lot of traditions in my family growing up, but the food was definitely one of them, especially on Christmas Eve. It would always be cracked Dungeness crab. And eventually, when we could afford it, it was King crab legs. And I've brought that into my marriage a little bit. And again, it's really harder to come by these days, but that's still a very favorite tradition when we can still have some of that crab. And there's certain kinds of candy. My mom, she made See's home fudge. I don't really know if it's See's fudge, but that was the name of it. So I think it's the food that really makes me smile when I think back over time and traditions.
Yeah.
Crab, that's really unique. Because this year I'm trying to think of what to do different, because turkey is after Thanksgiving, I'm done with turkey. So I never quite know what to do for Christmas. We usually do ham. But crab, that's really interesting. Dave, do you do anything different for Christmas as far as food?
Yeah, we have, growing up, we had barbecued hamburgers. Isn't that funny? Yeah, and it was just normal for us. But now we have a ham dinner. Yeah, potatoes. And we go out on, on our kind of formal dining room and light candles. And we talk. And yeah, we have so it is. Food is such a big one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That.
Yeah. Liz, what about advice? Are there tips? I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts about tips or advice that you would give couples during the holidays.
Around Christmas, around this day in particular. I think one of my favorite pieces of advice is receiving graciously. We get a number of gifts, and I think we have to really take great care to being grateful for the time and effort that went into that gift. One of my great mentors, as you know, is Laura Doyle, who wrote the book of The Empowered Wife. One line that she wrote in here, she said, there was a time, and I can really relate to this, David Rex, I'm embarrassed to say, there was a time when I was critical of everything my husband picked out for me if it wasn't something I picked out for myself. So guess what happened? Eventually, he stopped buying anything for me. I should have saved us both a lot of time and just married myself. True. Oh boy. I made a lot of grave mistakes earlier on when we first got married. I wasn't all that excited with what was under the Christmas tree. I'm really ashamed to say. And I really taught my husband that I am no fun to shop for. And I don't think he's really grown out of that. I think I was very hard to please. So that's my biggest piece of advice to myself, the listeners, to my clients, is to be a generous, gracious receiver. When you receive a gift, you're also giving a gift, which is of appreciation and delight. The fact that you thought of me for this, you thought of me. Oh, this is beautiful. Do your best not to take something back, unless it really needs to be an exchange. But if it's a sweater you're not crazy about, wear it anyway. Or a perfume, wear it anyway. If that's a perfume or aftershave that your spouse likes. What do you think? What's your best advice, Dave and Rex, this time of year?
Going back, I think back to a certain Christmas that was not our favorite. My wife and I, we decided, it's kind of this hectic. How about this year we just focus on the kids? We really don't get each other anything. And it was the worst. it was awful. So we have not done that again. But a couple little thoughts here is that kind of comes back to love languages, to be honest, because I am not, mine is not gifts. Whenever it's like, oh, let's make a list and what kinds of things do you want? And I only have to think for 1 second. I'm like, I don't really need anything, right? I have all the joys and comforts that I really ever want. And so, but then I have to be careful because our kids, they love the gifts. My wife and I, we talk about it and I make sure that she loves gifts. She loves stuff. She loves surprises, that kind of thing. So I think I have to turn outward and think about her. What would this day be like with her? Now with sizes and shoes and sweaters and all that, I have made all kinds of blunders. So we have talked about it though. A part of that is communication. And with any of maybe the outfits or that kind of stuff, I say, hey, I would love for you. You know exactly what you want and the sizes and colors and all that kind of thing. But then I always do a few things that she hadn't thought about or that wasn't maybe on her list just because of I know that she likes those surprises. So
that's that really thoughtful approach, right? To really get to know someone and pay attention to what they like, what they need, what they say. If we listen closely enough, well, we often can hear the desires.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things, here's just a little tip for future, whether it's birthdays or anniversaries or anything, I'll pay close attention, Liz, to what you mentioned it, whatever my wife says, oh, we need to get this or, oh, I'd love to have that someday. And if it's in October, it goes right in my phone in a little note in my phone that says, yeah, little ideas, gifts for Jamie. And then I'll tuck it away because whenever she drops a hint, I've had to mindfully put it in the phone for a later time.
Very nice.
Yeah. Rex, what about you? Advice?
I agree with my wife. It's difficult in that she likes experiences better, and which I love too, but they're way more expensive than some of the things I can get for Christmas. So those usually have to wait until the summer. Plus her birthday is close to Christmas, so that's always kind of a thing to juggle. But I agree too with Liz, like really appreciate and say, man, you thought of me. That's awesome. I totally agree. And my wife is amazing at that. She's really good. You know, I'm pretty open about what I want for Christmas. I can be kind of a big kid when that comes up, but she can make it really special. One of the coolest things, and anybody wants to try this, this is a really neat idea. And I totally blew me away when my wife did it, but I think it was like our first or second Christmas. We had the presents under the tree, and I remember going to look at like, I was trying to figure out what they were. And I looked at the tag and it said to and from, and she, oh, this was so awesome. She had written like to all my favorite, like movie characters from like their accompanying person, like James Bond's The Living Daylights was like to James from, the girl from the movie, I forget her name now, Carla or something. Yeah. And there was a video game name and all these different names of like characters or people I have read about or really appreciated and enjoyed. And she had written from their female counterpart on all the presents for me. And that was awesome because I was like, man, she really, really gets me. She knows the stories I like, the movies I like, the games I like, the people I like. And it just, it still warms my heart to this day to even think about that. That's still like the coolest thing. She came up with that on her own, but anybody listening wants to use that, by all means, use it for your wife or for your husband. It was one of the coolest. It was better than the gifts I got, just because it was so thoughtful. And I'd never had somebody do something like that for me. That really, we talk about intimacy, Dave. You've mentioned this before. Into me, you see. Mm-hmm. She was really looking into me and writing that on those presents, and I thought that was amazing. It blew me away.
Wow. So she saw you as the main character in each of those. Did I get that right? You were the main character.
Yeah, like I was the hero of all the stories.
Oh, that is so cool. You were her hero. Got it.
And it just spoke to me.
That is tender.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Let's dive right in.
I think, you know, holidays can sometimes just leave us in a daze. Rex and Dave, you know, they're so quick. We try to pack so much in. So I've got a new term for you. It's called Twixmas. You ever heard of that?
Twixmas. I have not heard
Twixmas
of
it. Time between Christmas and New Year's. Well, it's another chance for us to enhance closeness as a couple, as a family after the holidays, after the pressure of the main event. So that particular week coming up for us starting tomorrow can be ideal for some couple time. You pause, connect, and truly see one another. What are your plans during Twixmas, Dave and Rex? Do you have any left?
Yeah. You know, Liz, sometimes it's a matter of just not going anywhere. Like Christmas Day, we stay in our pajamas the entire day. They don't want to go to grandma's. They don't want to leave the house, actually. So sometimes it's the stay in and not answer the phone and just be together. Whereas other times it's, hey, let's go skiing, snowboarding or whatever. And then other times my wife and I have done a little getaway after the holiday. I think I've talked about in the past where it's just us two. You know, December has just been crazy, and it's always seems like for others and others and others. And hey, what are we doing for us? And so I'm a big fan of a getaway after the holiday just to reconnect.
Sweet. I like it. Rex, your plans for Twixmas?
Just trying to relax with the kids and like Dave says, just not venture off too far and enjoy the presents we have or enjoy the time I can spend with my kids putting the presents together, whatever it is they get and just enjoying that time. That's kind of my plan. Twixmas makes me think of a candy bar for some reason.
I know it.
Yeah. How did you come up with this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it wasn't original. I read it somewhere, but I thought, oh, that is so true. And I think it's just an opportunity we don't take advantage of. sometimes we feel like the main event needs to be on December 24th or today, the 25th, when we can really spread it out a little bit, right? We could have family parties during that time of year. Twixmas for us is probably going to be doing very little. Some is still to be determined, some of those days, but it will be very relaxed for starters.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that, Liz. It almost makes me think of a term that I don't know. I heard this recently, and it's called December drift. It feels like sometimes the month, it's been crazy with going here and there and calendars. We've packed it in quite a bit so far this month. And it feels like a lot of what we do, which is great, is with the kids and with families and parties and things. But sometimes I call this December drift, where we, meaning my wife and I, slowly kind of drift apart. And this show called Stronger Marriage Connection is, what can we do to intentionally kind of, you know, reconnect after a lot of the craziness and the stress? So it's not uncommon for couples, for many couples, kind of feel this. For some, maybe even feel a little bit neglected in a way that the attention has been so much on everyone else and neighbors and parties and kids, that some almost feel like on the back burner, I get the leftovers, right? I get the tired spouse every night instead of special couple time. So I don't know, any of your thoughts about experiencing or December drift, or tips for those couples who have experienced that? Rex, what about you?
Oh gosh, the time leading up to Christmas for me, I agree. It's a little frantic, and it's something that I like to call crunch time. But I've used that term a lot, you know, in a lot of my life, whenever there's something important that has to happen in a very short amount of time, like getting the presents, wrapping the presents, making sure you got somebody this, somebody that.
Yeah.
But yeah, trying to stay connected. I definitely always try to stay connected during that time. And every night when my wife and I go to bed, we try to talk a little bit about the day, what's going on in our days. Or one thing we always do is have lunch every day, almost every day together. So luckily we don't drift, but I've definitely had moments where I feel like, what is going on? We haven't been talking as much or connecting as much. It's not normally around Christmas, but I can see how that could happen to a lot of people. I just make an effort, like I said, that we always have like lunch together every day we can, and talk at night about whatever's going on.
Good for you. It's very inspiring. I think, you know, another thing that's helpful during Twixmas, Dave and Rex, is planning for next year. Let's assess what went well during the holidays, during Thanksgiving and Christmas, and what do we want to adjust for next year? Plan ahead. I often tell my younger couples, especially, if you want to forego the extended family traditions next year, 2024, maybe you'll head out of town to celebrate your own private holiday. Let your in-laws, let your extended family know now to avoid, I think, an even greater disappointment the closer you get to next year's holiday. It's a big deal to go against tradition, I know. But I think, again, part of that leaving and cleaving we talked about in another episode is pretty important. To start your own traditions. I think it's really so sweet when we can carry some over, but it becomes a time for you as a family now, your own family, to say, what's important to us? What do we want to carry through?
Love that idea. No, I love that idea, Liz, of this planning, because I think especially younger couples, I remember when I was younger and it was, you know, her year as far as her family, you know, maybe seeing her parents' house or a sibling when we would travel and we didn't stay close by. So that planning ahead, so there's, and things are going to come up, right? But that, I love that. Okay, what went well this year? And I'll give you an example of this. Last year, again, we had a daughter that was serving a mission for our church. So she was gone. Another daughter that was married. So it was very a different feel. But last year, so they were talking 2022, Christmas, just the month of December, it was, we did very little. Our friends and neighbors were, we got tickets for this, and we're going to Gentry, and we're going to this play, and we're going to these concerts and things. And both my wife and I were like, we're kind of fuddy-duddies. So we actually planned for this year. So this is a year ago. We said, you know what, for this coming year, and our daughter will be home and all, let's plan something. Let's not go crazy, but let's intentionally, when tickets come on sale, it takes some intentionality. It takes some planning, looking ahead. What's our calendar? And we actually sat down with our calendar and said, okay, hey, this concert's here. Let's get these tickets for this, and let's go here. And so just to create some more of those memories, as we feel like some of our children are kind of slipping away, they're getting older, and it makes us want to slow down time. And let's make Christmas more intentional as we create these memories. And so I think that it makes some, I love the idea of planning, Liz, with creating intentionality of tradition, of maybe new traditions. I love that as a new couple, coming up with new things that you want to do together. I love that thought. Rex, what's your take on some of that?
Moving to Utah like we did about 5 years ago, we've definitely had to do some of that. When we were back on the East Coast, we would we kind of back and forth, like, oh, Thanksgiving will be at our house, and then Christmas will be at your parents' house, and then next year will be, you know, Thanksgiving at their house and Christmas at our house. We would alternate it a lot back then. But now out here, since we're kind of far away from family, we generally, the traditions that we do is we always try to kind of make sure we keep the religious aspect of Christmas very relevant to our family and go to service on Christmas Eve and stuff like that. But yeah, be flexible. And I like how you say, you know, really appreciate that time. And I understand what you mean. As they get older, your children get older, you want to slow it down and really try to absorb every little bit of it. And it can be a little daunting, but still like, okay, let's not get so into this that we're forgetting what's going on in there and let them have fun. But I agree with that is definitely enjoy it and be flexible. Try to find different things. You know, sometimes you might have to change it up. I think even Liz kind of alluded to this a little bit. Sometimes you just got to try something different.
The holidays are typically geared around couples and families, aren't they? These couples' holidays could be considered like what Valentine's Day, even Thanksgiving, maybe certainly Christmas. It can be incredibly challenging to navigate when you are maybe either single, you recently ended a relationship, or when your marriage is in trouble. So a few tips come to mind that I'd love to throw out and see what you two think about. For starters, I think accepting what is, accepting that this is a different year and time and things are not like they used to be. And in a way, I think that's the one constant we can depend on, right, is change. But do change things up. Maybe this year you work in a soup kitchen. You go do for someone else. You search inwardly and remind yourself of the gifts you can give to someone else, the strengths you have, the talents, and turn outward. Who needs me today? Sometimes I'll do that, Dave, on just any given day when I'm feeling kind of down, like, I don't know why I'm so kind of depressed today. What can I do for someone else? And boy, that is just a natural healer to get out of myself. You can also take time for yourself. Self-care, I think, is so crucial. It's we can't really do for someone else unless we've really have filled our own cup. And practicing gratitude. It's very hard to be depressed and grateful or resentful and grateful at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Man, those are great tips. No, Liz, I love what you said. Those are some great tips. I think coming back to what we started with at the beginning of this, as far as, you know, thinking about others, I love that. Someone who's maybe struggling this time of year, maybe in a hospital or care center or someone who needs a visit, it's who needs me today, and slowing down to notice the nudges and follow those feelings to act on that. Maybe it's a text, maybe it's a letter, maybe it's an email or a phone call or a visit. But to do those things that will make someone's day a little bit better.
Yeah, Liz, what you said about going out and giving—it's amazing how serving others can be so rewarding. You know, for them, but for you too. It's incredible. And I have family that are single that I always try to call and make extra time for around the holidays to make sure I'm thinking of you. You're on my mind. Hope you're doing well. Go out and see close by family or friends if you got them. They always just need a little more encouragement. And I always put them, I always make it a priority to let them know that I'm thinking about them. And hopefully that encourages them to go out and have some fun too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. Well, as we wrap up this Christmas episode, is there a takeaway of the day, maybe a piece of advice, a message, a tradition, something that each of you would like to share as we close this Christmas episode. Rex, we'll start with you.
Takeaway for me is just make memories. Really, you know, try to appreciate that moment. And like Liz said, one of the greatest gifts you can give is really appreciating that somebody thought of you to get you something. Even if it's not exactly what you wanted, they they took that time to think of you. Like, a memory for me is I got a guitar when I was 12. I really wanted an electric guitar. I wanted a certain one. My parents got me one that was close to it, and I love that guitar. I remember loving it when I got it, and I still love it. It's actually hanging up on the wall right there. That guitar is over 30 years old. I've had several other guitars. That's still my favorite, even though it's not the exact one I wanted. And that appreciation can really change your attitude too.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it. Liz, what about you?
I have a great example of that appreciator in my own family, a sister-in-law who's been a teacher for, 35, 38 years. And at Christmas time, she often gets gifts on her desk or at the end of the school year. And she is the best by holding up each gift and just oohing and aahing and just appreciating it and loving the color and the texture and the smell of it, if it's a fragrance. And boy, these kids are just beaming ear to ear when their teacher Joy opens up that gift. She's a great example of that. When you receive, you also have a gift to give, which is just the appreciation. There's always something you can find. Dave, what's your takeaway?
You know, my takeaway is that I love the appreciation. I love the gratitude. I think for us, and it makes me just even today, I want to go look through, pictures and videos and these little books that we put together for our kids, just that captures each Christmas, and just to really reflect, to pause, to be grateful for what I do have and not maybe get so, longing for those days in the past, but reflect on those and appreciate those. And then to look forward and how can I do better? How can I be better? Who can I serve? Who needs me today? So that's my takeaway. As we wrap up this episode, friends, we hope that you will take advantage of the many resources that are out there to strengthen your marriage connection. One of those, again, is the Utah Marriage Commission that produces this and that's behind and sponsors this podcast. You can find the resources at strongermarriage.org. And for this upcoming year, we hope that you will send us an email. Let us know if you have questions. Is there a topic? Is there a concern? Is there a question that you have about marriage, about relationships, any topic? There's no topics off limits. So if you'll send us an email, Liz and I would love to do a mailbag episode throughout 2024 to see how that goes. Please send us an email at marriagecommission@usu.edu. So marriagecommission@usu.edu. And we would love to take a look at those topics and come up with ways that we can answer and your questions and help you in your relationship. So we wish you a very Merry Christmas, a wonderful new year, and thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Yes, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and Happy Festivus. If you're a Seinfeld fan, you would know what that is. But yes, I hope everybody has a great Christmas, and please do check out the resources that the Utah Marriage Commission has. They're incredible.
Merry Christmas, Rex, Dave, and our dear listeners. And do remember, it's the small changes that create a stronger marriage connection. See you in the new year.
Bye-bye. See you. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.